Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
Good evening, and welcome to Cheater in the Rood on the Progressive Radio Network. I'm one of your two hosts, Lee Papa, author of the blog The Rood Pundit, and the book The Rood Pundit's Almanac, available at orbooks.com.
And I'm Jeff Chrysler, an avid reader of The Rood Pundit blog. Happy anniversary, Lee!
Aw, oh, you're sweet! I didn't think you knew.
I didn't. It's been years?
8 years, yeah.
8 years of blogging. And look at you now. You've got a half an hour weekly show.
Half an hour of free radio.
And wow.
Yes, yes.
I would say you've come a long way, baby, except I'd get sued by the cigarette company.
Yes, yes, yes. And, remarkably, I have not been sued or given a cease and desist letter, although I did find out something very interesting this week.
What's that?
And now, I don't know if this is something that goes for many blogs, but I'd like to feel special.
Mm-hmm.
I found out that the Chinese government blocks my blog.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Is that because you've been blogging so much about how the Chinese people should organize and overthrow their oppressive leaders?
I would say probably that and small penis jokes.
Oh, do you ever do anything where you can get us? You just go dun 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 to like so. There's no doubt about any sort of
racism.
Exactly. Is there a word for culturalism?
Culturalism, generally racism. Yeah.
Oh, because see,
I mean,
but it's a country. See, I've been thinking about this lately. Like, racism to me is a race thing, not a nationality thing. Xenophobia.
Xenophobia kind of works.
You know what I really want to say is something about being afraid of large but attractive lesbians from the WB network.
Yes, wow.
But I wasn't sure if it was WB. So
you actually made that joke. That's
no, no.
A,
I said I'd like to make
joke
that
you
joke.
Made.
No,
yeah.
No. I said a lesser comment. Actually, what I didn't say.
Hey, speaking of jokes,
what?
Tell me about last night for you.
I experienced life last night. I was deep in the heart of the beating soul of the breathing lungs of the pulsing blood of the world. I am a Red Sox fan, and last night was delicious. It was delightful. It was an inevitable gory thing. I mean, you know, for those of you who don't know, basically the Red Sox had a relatively historic collapse. They were leading this wild card race by 9 games early September, and then we just started stinking. And last night, at one point, the team we were fighting, the Tampa Bay Rays, was up 7-0, and we were about to close out our win, and then it rained, and you just felt, you knew what was going to happen. Like, I turned on the game, the Rays were down 7-0, I'm like, oh, they're going to, it was 8th inning, they're going to score 3 runs, or 4 runs now, and then they'll score 3 in the 9th, and they'll win in the 11th, and we're going to choke it, even though we have our players playing, and that's essentially what happened. And it was a beautiful thing, as many people know. In the span of 25 minutes, the Braves lost their mojo, we lost our mojo, and the Rays made a great comeback. And it would be crushing if not for being on the other side of such things in 2004, being on the side of really the greatest collapse in postseason history, when the Yankees collapsed to us, our comeback. But it reminded me of that because at the time we were an unstoppable force for good, just like the Rays were. And this year the Red Sox didn't need it. So I enjoyed what was last night. I had heart surgery, so baseball, whatever. It's a fun ride. It reminds us of life.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was tweeting.
I know, I noticed that, because I didn't really expect to talk as long as I did, but then
yes,
I noticed you left the room.
No,
you're
no,
doing
no.
Tweets,
no,
no
that's,
signals.
That's very...
But the point is, the baseball point, to make it roundabout, is it reminds us of our political system, in that there is an inevitability that will manifest itself in randomly beautiful moments, and that inevitability is that... we will all lose, but yet we will all play the game. What did I say today in the car right here? That life is a Rube Goldberg death machine.
I actually said
Interesting.
I said, yes.
That's weird. I don't remember that.
Yes.
Let's check the
tape. You said something about a Rube Goldberg machine of death, and I said, life is a Rube Goldberg machine of death. But that's okay.
But we're a good team. That's it.
We build. We hitchhike on each other's ideas. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, did I tell you about offensive opinionator blog I started?
No.
Offensiveopinionator.blogspot.com.
Yeah.
It's a little wordy as a name, but I feel like it encompasses sort of the offensiveness and the online opinionating that I do.
Yeah.
Again, going on too long with my quick thing about, you're like piggybacking, stealing ideas, and I was stealing your Rude.
Oh, that pundit. Was Rude Pundit. Oh, that was okay, yeah.
So 8 years. what have you? What is your proudest thing? Like, what did you do?
What have I changed?
Or what have you just? Think of three things. One can be something for you. One can be something for other people. One can be.
I'm not used to these sorts of navel gazing, except when I'm.
Nope, not going to work.
All right. So I. I would say that the thing that I am proudest of is the number of people who said that I kept them alive during the Bush administration.
Oh.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
That is nice. Those were dark days.
Yes,
we all had to find our way.
And so that alone makes it worth it. For me, I would say the complete and utter taking up of any time I have to write other things has been really the greatest gift that the blog has given me. I was on my way to being having a promising playwriting career.
But you write every day, and it's your
I
muscle.
Do. I
and
write
ever find
every
time,
day.
That's great.
Except weekends.
What do you do on weekends? Is that when you do whatever the navel gazing thing was
that's
gonna
lead
when
to? That's when I gaze at my navel and think,
from the backside,
what's below there? And then, explore.
Speaking of navel gazing and fat people that can't see below their waistline, Chris Christie is in the news for a couple things. First of all, there's a lot of flooding over there because his body mass displaces water. I took science. And B, he picked on Snooki. He's going to cut the Snooki tax break.
Which, as the New York Times said, $420,000 tax break for filming Jersey Shore. He put the kibosh on that. And, you know, as the New York Times pointed out, there's a little First Amendment issue with that. You can't really give those things based on
content
if it's not, you know, blatantly like pornographic or violent.
Corporate entities giving money to elections.
Yeah.
Right.
So essentially, you know, he made a
boo-boo.
I got no love for
the
the situation or Pauly D or Jay Wow or
don't know any more than that. Okay, please. The show is over if you know any more people than that.
You know what? You know what's funny is
it's not funny.
I've never watched an episode, and yet, through some kind of cultural osmosis, I have come to know this.
Did I ever tell you, I have a product I want to market. I did a little fake ad for it. You know those noise-canceling headphones that people sell?
Yes.
Pop culture noise-canceling headphones.
Oh, that's nice.
Because essentially, isn't that what it is? It's like the people, there is a product out there that you can mute a TV if the word Snooki comes on. You know what I'm talking about? That was in the news.
It's an app. Didn't somebody start?
It's something like that where I guess you hook it into the closed captioning. I would like to be able to mute the Republican campaign. There, look what I did, political.
Wow, that was a segue.
But seriously, it's, you know, I think you told me, I don't read your blog, I don't care for it, but you told me you wrote something about the inevitability of Mitt Romney. Speaking of Chris Christie, we can put this all together.
Yeah,
Chris
Christie is the latest flavor. He's the new Rick Perry, the new Michelle Bachmann, the new
He rode up on
Sarah
a motorcycle
Palin.
With his fat hanging out.
Yes. Wow, you just... All you've got
it's
are fat
easy.
Jokes. All
it's
you've
easy.
Got are fat jokes.
because he symbolizes an America that gorges and then wants to reward that gorgeousness. Like these pretzels that we ate earlier today that were like, what do they call, like save the troops pretzels? Like, get fat for America.
Yeah, they were upper GI pretzels or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they were.
They were.
Or was it uppity GI? It was actually
yes,
racist.
Yes, yes. No, Chris Christie gave, you know, everybody's, he's said over and over and over, you know, do I have to kill myself? And by the way, the scary thing is how often he's repeated, do I have to kill myself in order to prove to you that I'm not running for president? He has said that so many times that I really think he needs to go have some kind of Tony Soprano-like therapy session about his suicidal tendencies.
Yeah, or he needs to not be a teenage girl.
Or, yeah, he needs, that's what we have. We have emo Christie. I'm just thinking about suicide. Chris Christie is not only obese, but a cutter. I think that...
he cuts his steak. He cuts his pie. He cuts his will.
Wow.
He cuts his want to die. I could do the whole thing like that.
Well, you could just do the rest of the half hour on Chris Christie fat jokes.
In song.
In song. Wow.
There was a buffet.
So he gave a speech at the Ronald Reagan Library, and everybody was like, oh my God, he's really going to, he's going to say something to make him run.
Jet?
That's the one that's like an airplane hangar. And I will admit that the comical dichotomy between Chris Christie's girth and Nancy Reagan's skeletal frame, yes, it is kind of funny. He could pick his teeth with Nancy Reagan.
Hmm.
But he did give a speech where he said the same things. You know, I'm bipartisan, but fuck that Obama. I'm a strong guy who got Democrats to go along with him. Yeah, because he lied to them and bullied them in his state. Same blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. And even there he said, no, I'm not running. And then somebody said, your country needs you. Your country needs you. And Christie said that he was moved and that he would, not that he would think about running, but that he was taking to heart that that this woman said, your country needs you.
I'm taking to heart thinking, my God, people are terrible. Here's what, in a thought, a tangential thing. You know, Sarah Palin heard all the same things, but she believed it. Like, anybody that's out in the public eye, like, at some point, we'll hear someone say, you should run for office, well, you should be president.
Yes,
and there are
yes.
people that realize that those people don't know.
Well, and Christie said, you know, he would be an idiot to want people to stop talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, he's very he loves the flattery, you know, because...
It's like butter
it's
on
like,
top of pie inside a turkey.
You know, man, you gotta go. Let me ask you, can you make any non-fat jokes about...
About Chris Christie.
About
yeah,
Chris Christie.
He didn't want the tunnel, the Ark Tunnel, to go into Manhattan to help improve the economy, and yet he claims to be someone in support of the economy. He's cut education funding, and he, while admirably being something of a straight shooter, is a big piece of douche.
That's not a joke, really, as much as it is using the word douche.
Yeah. Well, what do you think a joke is?
You were coming up with this butter on pie, and you know, yes. Let's just go ahead.
Okay,
you know, everybody
is,
should
he
know.
He is a smart, focused Sarah Palin. That's hilarious to me, because he's someone that's been caught in the eye of the public interest, and by public I mean the crazy right wingers, and he's riding it for his publicity. He himself, Sarah Palin would never admit, oh, I don't want this publicity. He is admitting it. So isn't he essentially riding the same wave, like
a
desperation?
No, he has not admitted that. He says he wants the publicity.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Sarah
Palin would never admit she wanted the publicity.
Yes.
He at least is admitting that. He is riding the same wave, which is sort of like an empty soul searching for meaning in a sea of self-created stupidity and emptiness that the far right is doing right at this moment. I mean, essentially, isn't that what the love affair with Palin to Bachman to whoever, Herman Cain winning Florida, to now Christie, to looking for, is everyone looking for this fantasy ideal thing that doesn't exist, because there's no way to fuse their various desires into a real candidate, their desires, you know, in shorthand for keep your government hands off my Medicare. There's no way to, like, create someone that embodies all of the inherently opposing things. I'm running out of steam, but you get what I'm going.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I, you know what I think about that after the speech out in California? Christie returned to his hotel room, the suite he's probably was in, took off his shirt, and realized that Nancy Reagan was stuck in the folds of his fat.
Mm.
Yeah. Cracked another toilet sitting on it.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. Shit out all of that fine, fine food that they must have served him at the banquet. Feeling a little guilty that...
Do you think he poops, or does he just keep on... Like, is it like a bullshit attracts bullshit, and like it just keeps holding on to him?
Yeah, no, I think that he...
Is he getting bigger?
No, I don't... You know what? I don't want to think about Chris Christie's dumps. I don't want to think about...
But it's okay to think about Nancy Reagan stuck inside his fat rolls. That's
yes.
better to you.
Coming...
Disrespecting a crazy woman who had to be married to a crazy man for all her life and is now alive, still, sort of...
Yes.
Okay.
She said she's the one who invited Christie to speak at the Reagan Library.
Really? You think she did? You think she even knows who Chris Christie is?
Well, she does after spending some time under his man boob.
I believe it's called a moob.
A moob. Hey, on that note, Greg, I think we need to take a little break.
What's wrong with moobs? So, speaking of folds and boobs and all that, last week after the show, we went down to a little thing you all out there are hopefully hearing about called Occupy Wall Street.
We did. We held hands. We skipped through.
I was being serious for like 17 seconds. Mentally, we held hands and skipped through, yes. And it was interesting. I think it was, you've been to protests before. I mean, we both have been to various protests. It was not, I was pleasantly surprised that it wasn't, a disorganized patchouli hippie fest.
Oh, I was thrilled that there was a lack of free mumia and pro pot legalization and pro Palestinian signs. The signs that were there and the things that they were talking about were strictly about corporate influence in politics and Wall Street greed.
I've heard of this Wall Street greed. How does that work?
Well, Jeff, you, having studied this, I think probably have a greater perspective on than I do. However, I would say that probably what happens is that people from Wall Street actually walk into the homes of poor people and start by shooting the children so that they don't hear
Bam,
anything.
Bam! In your face!
Yes, and then in front of the father, they probably rob and then rape the wife.
Bam! In your butt,
and then tell the husband that this is what he deserves for being poor in America. That's how I imagine Wall Street greed works. Am I right?
Yeah. Except I was hoping for more of a metaphor. I think you went the literal route to actually describe what happens.
Yes. Yes.
I think metaphorically, it's more people just taking advantage of. Of people.
That's you know not, what that's not a metaphor.
I know. You know what?
I don't mean to,
neither of us were metaphors.
I don't mean to pull my English professor credential out here, but that wasn't a metaphor.
I know it wasn't a metaphor.
In fact, that wasn't even.
Here's what frustrates me about the Wall Street development. I spoke at a TED conference or TED salon last week, so it wasn't that impressive, but it was great. I just ruined everything I've ever done in my life. The point is, I talked to some people who work on Wall Street, and there is an argument that I see all the time is about the good that's done in Wall Street. Yes, there is good done by Wall Street, but there's also bad done. There's greed done. And so is it 95% good and 5% bad? Is it 5 bad, 95% good? Who knows? But what frustrates me is that the intelligent minds in our country are no longer being put towards engineering great feats or discovering cures for medicine. They're going to make money and engineer new ways of making money. I mean, Wall Street is a trap. Like, I went to a place with good school, and they come and they say, "This is your
week we got to hear about your fucking good school."
No, it's
Jesus
not.
Christ.
They come and that's who reports for your. No, that's who recruits is Wall Street. They get the best minds and they say, "Here's a gob of cash. Go engineer a way to make money off of money."
In case you have never heard, Jeff.
No,
Princeton.
I just went for a minute. And that's one of the things.
So we were at the Occupy. We went down there, and it was actually to me what I thought was great was that it was an actual kind of developing community of people. Well, there was a buffet, which I thought was delightful. Mm-hmm. There was all this food out there
that
people. There were people that were standing there and giving speeches as part of their general assembly, where anybody can get up and speak.
We could have gotten up and spoke.
We could have, but then there was. They were also organizing to flood the NYPD with calls, in order to try to get people who had been arrested freed, and. Yes, it was just the beginnings. It was just the baby steps.
And now it's starting to kind of.
Now it's starting
spawn.
To. Yes, it's
evolving.
We got evolving.
Some current TV coverage.
MSNBC.
MSNBC's coverage.
Yeah. And
in different cities, as their plan was.
And several unions have now put their support behind it, and they have now stuck it out for almost 2 weeks. And the weather, let me just tell you, the weather here in New York, it's been shitty.
It's been schizophrenically crappy.
Yeah, like today has been thunderstorms and
humid.
Sun, and then it's going to get cold. So they're, you know, if nothing else, they're living what they have said they're going to. And we talked to a couple of people who have been out there, who were out there the whole time a week
mm-hmm.
ago,
mm-hmm.
and they said they were going to stay until something changes. And I think that. So there's like infighting some on the left about, oh, this Occupy Wall Street thing is just bullshit. They're not really accomplishing anything. They don't have real goals. And I think that evolves. I mean, what happened in Tahrir Square is not that they had a specific goal other than we don't want this government anymore.
Right. So a question would be, what happens when these other forces join up, whether it's unions, whether it's just other cities? How does leadership step forward to bring this movement to either a negotiating place or to a place to do something? Like the stuff that happened in Wisconsin was specific oriented. It was about Walker's plan. The stuff same in Ohio. This is, you know, we're not going to stop having greedy capitalism. Where do we get, if we get to a point where this is actually a cultural movement that has traction? Who is taking the lead, and how is that lead, and how are the issues being formed? I mean, you know, this is essentially the argument back at the formation of political parties in this country, but okay, so what happens? And frankly, can this be, this is the source of what could have been, or could be, a real, what Tea Party claims to be.
Right.
Tea Party genesis was spawned by, you know, my tax rates and my mortgage rates, and, you know, sort of a refocusing of a hatred of the left policies, whereas this isn't about left and right. I mean, both left and right are in the pocket of Wall Street, one a little bit deeper than the other.
Yes, but at the same, and I agree that there needs to be some focusing of and writing up of goals, which I think they're actually doing. I think they're coming up with a list of demands, and but as we saw and. In Egypt, for instance, is that the movement towards democracy there? And Egypt isn't the best comparison. The stuff that's going on in the Middle East and in other and countries that have
although
dictatorships.
Both Wall Street and the dictatorship are, you know, taking starving us in a certain extent, but it's
right.
not to the same.
But we saw in Egypt that without a plan, the military just took over, and
right.
and they're still needing to actually have democracy come into
right.
action.
I don't think our military is on the side of the anti Wall Streeters.
No. And you know, and let's just say that probably most of the cops have been pretty cool about the whole thing.
Right.
But there's always going to be some dickhead cops that do dickhead things. And the dickhead cop who pepper sprayed protesters that they had already put a temporary fence around. That guy should probably be arrested.
Let's go do it.
You want to go arrest him?
Well, I'd like to sing him a song. A song about love. This isn't going anywhere, so stop.
No, Jesus Christ. Wow.
It is a rhythm.
Wow. You know, you're just not getting over your whole Red Sox thing, are you?
No, you know what it is? I also have a clean, relatively clean bill of health on my heart surgery. Have I told all these people about the things going on in my life? It doesn't matter.
They know. They know about your heart surgery.
Believe, I don't have...
You know what?
I don't have... You know look, went, I don't have 8 years of vlogging,
okay? Went to Andover.
You know what
did
I
you know?
No, I didn't go to Andover. That's wrong.
Where'd you go?
I went to the other one. Where anybody worth goes.
What is it as...
Look.
Bendover? What is it? What is the other thing?
Can I ask our listeners out there, raise your hand, raise both hands if you're driving, if you think that Lee is great.
Wow. Jeff should probably not have come in drunk today. And but I think that...
Go on, focused guy.
Yes.
This is the problem with the left, is we can't keep up our rage for long because there'll be shiny objects.
No, that's the thing about the Occupy Wall Street thing, is they are focused. They are doing something. Now, the Wall Street people that I saw walking by last week when we were there, they were looking at it as, oh, let's just take a look at the freak show. And I can guarantee you that a good percentage of the people that marched with them last Saturday, when they marched up to Union Square, that they were just people that were like, ooh, look, a bunch of crazy, dirty hippies marching along. I'm going to go along with them because it looks like a party. However, there is a core there. There is the seed of something there. And whether it takes root now or later, if this is a dress rehearsal for something that has even greater organization behind it, great. If this is just what grows, then great. Let's see what happens.
So if this if all that happens here is it brings more attention to all the disparate people that didn't that have these concerns, but it suddenly realizes there's others out there, and it becomes a focus point for sort of spokes of a wheel of change, then that's fine. If it helps us focus.
If we draw in, say large numbers of unemployed people, if we get groups representing people who have run out of their unemployment benefits, if we get people who's had their homes foreclosed on because of unethical banking practices, if we get people who have been directly hurt by the practices of the Wall Street investment firms, of the hedge fund managers, of this generic group of people who I am not identifying clearly, who are the people that have dicked over the majority of Americans.
But what if we distract them? What if we give them shiny toy? What if we give them like $5 or $300 to look back at the tax cut, the George Bush tax cuts, $300 and maybe like a free Xbox, and we tell them that the new lineup of the fall season of TV is not to be missed.
You mean I shouldn't miss Whitney?
We only have a minute left. Let's jump right into a would you rather.
You have a would you rather?
Oh, I do now.
Go for it.
Would you rather go to heaven and defend the artistic merit of Whitney as your entry into heaven? Or would you rather write an article about how this season's TV shows with Playboy bunnies and a show, Whitney, whose ads have her in a French maid outfit, a nurse's outfit, and lingerie, are about the empowerment of women?
Ooh, wow. You know what?
Both are defending the artistic integrity or the non-sexualization of something sexual.
You know, I'm going to have to go with writing the article because I know that academic bullshit and I could spin it out there and make you believe, man. I could make you believe.
Is this whole thing you've been doing? Has this been 8 years of Andy Kaufman?
It has been. This has all been one long con.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have been Tony Clifton, and this has been another episode of Cheater and the Rude. My name is actually Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Lee Papa. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Rude Pundit.
I'm at Jeff Chrysler. We're also on the face book, and
have you updated that at all?
No.
But you can also...
It's out there. People care, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. We can't keep track of all the stupid.
Yes, and you can also follow this. This will be up at the PRN website and at the rudepundit.podbean.com podcast. This is Cheater and the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. We're back.